Happy to have with us, as always, Bernie Kosar. Bernie, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Well, Bern, we got to talk some quarterbacks, because this the conversation of this draft as it applies to not just the Browns, but really to this whole upper tier. And then with regard to the Browns, perhaps when you get into the lower portion of the first round as well, the quarterback discussion involving Ryan Tannehill and Brandon Whedon. And let's start with Tannehill, because now there seems to be some push or talk or whatever we want to call it for him to possibly be the third overall pick of this draft for a team that would maybe make a deal with Minnesota to take him there. Are you buying that that Tannehill, despite his limited experience that everybody knows about, could actually be that guy taken third overall?
Well, I find it interesting, and Mr. Earthday the other day tweeted that he's trying to take care of his friend, Ziggy, the owner in Minnesota, by saying that teams should call him and that he should be the third pick, knowing that he's probably set in his situation. Andrew Luck, I think we're getting, with social media, with the internet, with Facebook, with emails, with blogs, I think we're getting what's an emphasis or an increased emphasis on things we've seen for years of incredible positioning and misinformation that goes out before the draft. We're about 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks away from the first round, and the jockeying that's going on, I think it's just getting heightened and emphasized. Yeah. I find it incredibly fascinating, interesting that, again, it shows you how much emphasis and popularity there is in the NFL, but yet how much pressure there is to be right and get the best deal that you can, more importantly, or most importantly, get the best players you can.
Yeah, and Bernie, you mentioned Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, and his tweet. He referred to Ryan Tannehill as the hidden gem of this draft. And again, this is an owner of a team, and it wouldn't be the first time that even somebody at that level dispensed some information that might try to influence a process. But like you said, there's nothing really for him to gain out of this, which I think maybe is where he believes he's coming from, because he's got that top overall pick, and he's likely to use it on Andrew Luck. So he's got his quarterback. But to talk about Tannehill as a guy that would be taken possibly as the third overall guy, it's created some head scratching, but there are people in other corners who wouldn't be that surprised, who think highly of Tannehill's skills.
Well, some of those people, again, I think a lot of us, myself included, I think real highly of his skills. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, 31 games as a starting season, then to move to 19 games as a real productive, athletic starting quarterback is incredibly impressive. It's just at the third pick of the draft, is that someone who immediately is ready to come in and play? Because typically your top five, six picks are guys that immediately are difference makers, that are ready to be NFL starters. And that's where, some of, I think, the speculation comes with somebody like that.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, the other quarterback in play, in discussion, I should say, and this is maybe tying in more toward the Browns' later pick, a lot of speculation that the Browns could be focused on Brandon Whedon, possibly with that 22nd pick, or maneuvering somewhere in the middle portion of the draft, if necessary, to grab the Oklahoma State quarterback. We've talked about him before. Again, an older guy hitting 29 at the start of the season, had that pro baseball career. But more than anything, I think that there's a lasting impression of a really good, strong arm, and maybe a more, but definitely a more developed game than a Ryan Tannehill has, and possibly more so than a Robert Griffin III has.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Brandon Whedon, a lot of people look at it as a negative that he's 29 years old, but in terms of effectively playing early this upcoming year, his experience with the added age, with the added aspect of experience of being a or trying to be a professional baseball player at that added age and effectiveness being around these different types of environments, probably from a maturity level, give him a better chance to develop into the NFL in the short run. Now, the long run with the age is definitely could be a consideration 5 to 10 years from now. But in the next 5 years, he could be effectively one of the guys that could step in on a team and be able to lead them more so than some of the other younger quarterbacks.
And it gets very interesting, Bernie, as we get closer now, 2 weeks and counting, as to what might happen if, in fact, say, Matt Khalil is not, as has been sort of the chalk talk, that he would be the third guy taken, that if he's not taken there, does it make sense for the Browns to try to get a guy who's been a true left tackle in college when you've already got a left tackle here in Joe Thomas and you know, try to make a right tackle out of him? Maybe that doesn't compute. Maybe that doesn't make sense. And then you see a guy like Matt Khalil, who is considered one of these, you know, 10 or 15-year starters in this league at the tackle position, suddenly, you know, falling a little lower on the board than expected.
Well, again, it's probably not, from a fan perspective, the most sexy thing you could do. But asking an ex-quarterback, there's no doubt incredible athleticism and talent from the offensive line position you really like. So, yeah, I don't think he would have any problem moving from left tackle to right tackle. And then to have a Joe Thomas and a Khalil there and Alex Mack in the middle, boy, that lays the foundation for debatably one of the best, deepest, toughest lines in the whole NFL. So you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, the conversation is going to get very interesting as we go forward, because that's this week's topic. You know, when we start hitting this next week, as we get within a week of the draft, it'll be something else, Bernie.
Yeah, well, look, we're seeing the rumors how we started the show about Tannehill and Percy saying he should be number three and all that. I think it's only going to get heightened over the next 2 weeks. Teams like the Dolphins, who Shurmur, their offensive coordinator, was Tannehill's head coach, have a quarterback need, could really be nervous about having to make their first round pick. And we saw what Washington had to pay to go from 6 to 2. Teams wanting to go from 8 to 4, 8 to 3, if they really feel that somebody's going to jump in front of them and make a play, if that is the guy they want.
Yeah, the two parts of that Dolphins story, very interesting, because, like you say, Mike Shurmur there and having coached Tannehill at Texas A&M is one connection. And then the other issue is Matt Moore. Can you believe in him as the starting quarterback for the Dolphins? And a lot of folks can't, so they want to see a new face. And I guess they want to see whoever that face is. If it's Ryan Tannehill, that's pretty much the only answer, I guess, in this draft, unless they were somehow to be in play for Brandon Whedon somewhere down the line.
Right, and I think, again, this following the Dolphins and understanding the market down there, I don't think it's going to be possible to go into the season with Matt Moore as their top quarterback. So them and doing something early in the draft is almost has to happen.
Almost a given. Bernie, thank you so much. Great stuff as always, and we'll visit with you again next week, buddy.
Thanks, Dick. Have a great weekend.
All right, that's Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.